And President Trump begins his first foreign trip as president today. As he prepares to exit stage left for Saudi Arabia, some members of Congress emerged from a closed-door briefing with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who this week appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel in an investigation into any ties between the Trump campaign and Russian election interference or any attempt to cover up ties. The president has called that a witch hunt. California Republican Daryl Issa was asked if he agrees.
Well, I don't personally believe in witches, but look, the director's job is, in fact, to go where the facts lead, and he has a reputation. Now, all special prosecutors turn over a lot more rocks than anybody else in the executive branch wants.
The week began with reports that President Trump asked FBI Director James Comey, who he fired last week, to lay off an investigation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who Trump had fired back in February. And it ends today with the shadow of a special counsel investigation hanging over the Trump administration. So let's bring in our political roundtable. Ashley Parker is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
Hey, and Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Rick, welcome back.
Hey, guys.
So, Rick, I want to start with you, and let's talk about this Comey firing. Trump first said he fired Comey because of that memo from Rod Rosenstein. Then he says he was planning to fire Comey all along. Yesterday, Rosenstein tells senators that he knew Comey was going to get fired before he wrote the memo to the president. So, Rosenstein back on Capitol Hill today talking with House members. Did we learn anything new there?
The contradictions are critical here. And what we've heard from Rod Rosenstein now is that when he wrote this memo, he didn't intend it to be a bill of particulars that would lead to a dismissal. It wasn't intended to be that. He stands by the arguments that he made, but he is making clear this was President Trump's call. And it's these contradictions that have emerged over the week plus since the Comey firing that have got so many people just perplexed by the circumstances and have forced the hand. It may be that President Trump's move to fire James Comey backfired because that led to Rod Rosenstein having to distance himself, and that led to this appointment of the special counsel.
Well, not only that, Rick, I'm going to jump in to say it also led to Comey revealing that, well, wait a second, I had these conversations where I was asked to lay off, you know, the investigation into Michael Flynn, who was accused of having ties. So it led to a whole bunch of things. Look, the stock market fell with the news of the appointment of this special counsel to investigate all things Russia. It was also in part because the Republican plan of tax reform now seems further off the radar, and, you know, investors don't like that. But here's what President Trump said about the firing yesterday.
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country.
Well, Ashley, people are pouncing on that distinction there. I can always speak for myself and the Russians. Is that the president distancing himself from his staffers?
It certainly felt that way. And in watching the press conference, it was something I noted and other people noted. On the one hand, the president is technically correct, right? He can only speak for his behavior and he doesn't necessarily know what every low-level staffer or associate is doing. On the other hand, this is someone who ran, especially Donald Trump, ran as a business executive, ran as a chief executive. And I think there might be a standard. And again, I don't know or think it's necessarily a legal standard. But, you know, you are the head of your campaign. You sort of are responsible for what people below you are doing. That's the point of being a chief executive or a candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Rick, I mean, so here you have the president being defensive about this. But is there a way that this could actually be a reset for the administration, that now that there's this special counsel on board, the administration can say, look, let's just let Mueller take care of that and let's forget about this for a while, at least if we can, and try to get something on the agenda taken care of?
It gives them some breathing room, but careful what you wish for here. In the short term, there's no doubt that this allows members of Congress who are pushing an agenda, people in the White House, to say, this is not a question for us. Let's go to the special counsel. But this is going to be slow. This is going to be long. This is going to be unpredictable. Once it's in the hands of a special prosecutor, he's got 2 months just to figure out his staff. It's very easy to see this extending into 2018 and beyond. And I don't know that anyone can have a handle on where a special counsel goes. That's been the history history of these, the well-documented history of special prosecutors. And ultimately, even if this moment gives them a bit of relief, this story has evolved in so many unpredictable ways. All of these scandals have kind of morphed into each other. I don't know that there's going to be any rest for the very weary folks in the White House.
Well, but, I have to say, to Trump supporters, they don't what scandal? We're seeing a supporters parade across the TV shows saying, show me evidence of collusion. And of course, others are saying, well, that's what the investigation is about. But Ashley, speak to that, because we're getting this drip, drip, drip nature. Now, friends of James Comey are coming out and saying how uncomfortable Comey was around Donald Trump with that weird kind of godfather kiss once in the White House. And, there's more and more dripping out.
Well, let's keep in mind that this has ripple effects that we've already seen and that we can't predict. So, for instance, while Trump maintains there is, no collusion between his campaign and the Russian government, and we don't know the answer to that, but that very may well be true, that in the process of that, if you believe Comey's accounts and Comey's memos, the president sort of told him to drop the investigation, which opens him up to other potential legal headaches like obstruction of justice. So maybe he didn't do anything wrong with the Russians, but he may have been out of his lane. And if he, in fact, did tell the FBI director, to stop this investigation. And then the other thing, especially with someone like Donald Trump, is he is so deeply reactive. So even if there's no there, just the fact of this investigation and the drip, drip, drip may affect his moods and maybe something that prompts him to wake up and tweet a missive that gets him into even more trouble we can't quite now predict.
Rick, where is Mike Pence in all this?
Mike Pence is in a very awkward spot. And this is several times now where Mike Pence has spoken publicly about something where he appears to have been ill-informed or misinformed or simply out of the loop. And the latest incident involves what was disclosed about Flynn's ties to Turkey. And he spoke in March, the vice president did, saying that he had no knowledge of anything until at that time. Now we learn from the New York Times and elsewhere that, in fact, the transition team was told of Michael Flynn's ties to Turkey and the money that he got from the Turkish government. Michael Flynn if he was actually telling the transition team and no one told the vice president who was heading that transition team, that is problematic. Yeah. And you're starting to hear concerns from Pence folks inside the White House about the way that they are being treated.
Well, Elijah Cummings, the Democrat from Maryland, said today that if Pence didn't know about this, he was either not telling the truth or he was running a sloppy shop.
Well, can I just ask, do you think there's a direct line between Mike Flynn's work for the Turkish government? He's revealed that he's registered belatedly as an agent of a foreign government, paid thousands of dollars to represent Turkey, which is very angry about the U.S. aligning with the Kurds against ISIS. Can you draw a direct line from that to suddenly we have Erdogan in the Oval Office and we have Erdogan watching out a window as his thugs beat up protesters in Washington, D.C.? Can you draw a line back to Michael Flynn?
I don't know about a line, but I think the dots are out there to be connected. Flynn was in the White House for a couple of weeks only, but he was setting policy. He set policy during the transition, and there's no doubt those policies had a big impact on the kind of meetings that are set up and the alliances that begin to emerge as Donald Trump establish his own doctrine, his own policy.
Yeah. That said, I would just sort of caution that Donald Trump has sort of an affinity for strong men, leaders,
or
and
strong
dictators.
Men.
Yeah, to begin with. And so that might explain Erdogan. Of course, he had the Egyptian leader in the Oval Office, which was something that President Obama had sort of explicitly refused to do. He's invited a lot of people, had phone calls with a lot of people, met with a lot of people that human rights activists do take exception with. And I think that exists a bit outside of Michael Flynn.
Well, and now the president is on his way to Saudi Arabia, going to make stops in Israel and Europe as well. How's that, Rick? What are you looking for in this trip? Because the president might hope that this will quiet down while he's gone, but probably it won't.
Well, first of all, this is almost a tour of people and places that President Trump has offended at times. Mm. He's going to be in the Vatican. Remember what he said about the Pope? He's going to be in Israel. They've been very upset with what's happening on the pregame, even the advance gaffes that have happened before he arrives. And, of course, the Muslims in the Arab world, to meet with Muslim leaders and the guy that called for the Muslim ban, this is going to be awkward. At best, this would be a bold, audacious trip with huge goals that would not be able to be obtained. You can't just bring Middle East peace off of one trip. But this is not the best case scenario in any event. This is a White House that's in crisis right now, and you're going to have major events playing out on Capitol Hill and in newspapers multiple time zones away from the president.
Well, but remember what was discovered in the Reagan era, and books have written about this, that the truth is, though, he will be seen on television screens surrounded by world leaders with big rippling American flags behind him. The imagery we understand, especially from Saudi Arabia, is going to be incredible. They're putting so much effort into this because there's so much more in favor of him than they were with Obama, who, you know, made a deal with Iran. So it's going to look good. Ashley?
Yeah, it could potentially look good. And, you know, in the lead up to this trip and talking with foreign policy experts, and they weren't trying to be snide or glib, but they did say that what a lot of the world is watching for is what they want to be is reassured that this is, you know, tweets aside, sort of erratic behavior aside, this is a normal American president, a normal American government. And so the bar is pretty low. If Donald Trump can clear that bar, the trip will be a success.
All right. Ashley Parker, White House reporter for The Washington Post, and Rick Klein with ABC News. Thanks to you both.
Yep. Hey, thank you.
It's here
thank
and now.
You.